Thanks for joining us for the fourth episode of Personas. Today, I have the pleasure of sitting with Shanace. Shanace, thanks for agreeing to chat with me today. First, I'd just like you to introduce yourself to anybody who's listening and tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Cool. So my name is Shanace, and I'm also happy to talk to you, Melanie. And I'm a UX researcher at CBC, but specifically I'm working with the CBC Music and CBC Radio team.
Cool. So what do you do for them?
I try to remind them that there are real human beings who use our products. And so I do that by either interviewing people or showing them what we're working on in sort of like a usability test setting, or getting them to do a card sort, you know, like whatever method is necessary. But I'm basically constantly yelling and saying, like, we have to think about the people. So,
yeah. So do you work on the like digital teams then, like CBC, like .ca? Streaming or whatever, or which area of CBC Music do you
so specifically working on a product that doesn't exist? But the public doesn't know about it yet. But I'm definitely sort of attached to a product team that is digital.
Awesome, great. So how did you get into this role? Like, what is your background and how did you get into user research?
So way back in the day, I went to film school because I thought I was going to become a filmmaker. But I think really what it is that I'm really drawn to narrative and knowing your audience and making sure you're making something that makes sense to them. So had a life doing film stuff, then moved on to not realize that I kind of want to have a job like in the internet, which I couldn't really articulate, but I just thought like the internet is cool. There has to be a place for me there. So I went back to school for a one-year program and I studied content strategy and user research and a bit of social media and analytics and project management. And at the time of graduating, I was very much attached to like writing stories and making sure that the voice of the company is matched with the expectations of the user. So I was leaning towards content strategy. But when I got my first job, I realized that working in a big company that has no idea what anything is, it's hard to start with content strategy. So I was like, let me realign my focus. Let me see where I can get a small win. And so because I was working with a product team that was responsible for doing like a responsive website redesign, I was like, okay, I could definitely do some small guerrilla testing or some sort of user feedback thing to sort of show the value of talking to people and not just making things randomly because marketing says so or randomly because we have an objective, like actually making sure that there's some sort of feedback loop. So I started doing that and I was like, oh yeah, this is the job I wanted. Like, this is what I thought about when I was thinking about getting a job in the internet. So it sort of snowballed from there. And then I ended up at CBC because I started looking for an actual job board that had the description of like user in it and like testing in it and like human in it. So
Nice. And how long have you been at CBC for now?
Almost a year, like a year in a month.
Okay, awesome. So you said that you did a one-year course in content strategy and some analytics and other things. Where was this one-year course?
It was at Centennial College.
Okay, and where's Centennial College?
Centennial is in Toronto.
Okay, and what was the course? Does it still exist? I'm just wondering because some people who are listening might be interested in checking that out.
So last I checked, it still exists. So it's a postgraduate certificate program in interactive media management. And when I did it, it was a fixed sort of like September start date. But I know now that they have like two start dates. So you can start in September semester or you can start in the winter semester. But it's pretty like, I wouldn't say it's a boot camp because you're there for a whole year, but it is quite rigorous. And you do sort of they make you try everything, so you can't necessarily be like, well, I know that I'm going to be a content strategist. It's like, no, you still have to understand what project management is. You still have to understand like why a project might need something like Jira or Asana. Like, you, they sort of make you do a bit of everything, which is good. And then they also have a field placement.
Oh, nice.
So you got to get some experience before you start, you know, hitting the pavement and blasting people with your resumes, which is also good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Okay. So since then, you've been at, like, how long has it been since you've taken that course?
That was in, I finished in 2015.
Okay, cool. So it's been a couple of years now. Since you've taken that course and you've had some experience being out in the field and in industry, what are some clever ways that you've used to get stakeholders involved in your research?
Making them listen to audio recordings has been super useful. So, I mean, making them probably isn't the best. Inviting them or insisting or just, you know, walking into their office and saying, hey, do you have a minute? I want you to listen to 30 seconds of audio. That's been good. Having them sit in a test session, not necessarily moderating or taking notes, but just letting them sit in and observe how it happens and why it happens has been useful. What else? I think sort of having like a frequency of contact is important. Like, some stakeholders are super busy, but I think making sure they know who you are and that you're sort of up to something at all times is very important, as opposed to just popping in once a month out of nowhere, or like once every 6 months, and just being like, hi, I have this like 15 slide deck presentation for you, without any context. So
yeah,
I think, but yeah, it also depends on your capacity as a researcher. Like, if you are a team of one, which I am right now, it is kind of hard to do that sort of stakeholder relationship management, but it's something you should prioritize because they need to listen to you. So yeah, it's a fine balance, I'd say.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. So that was something else I was going to ask about CBC. What is the organizational structure like? So you said you're a team of one in terms of research, but do you guys have like UX designers that you work with? Or what is your structure like?
So there's a bunch of product teams, and I think – I mean, there's a bunch of product teams, and not all products are sort of like consumer facing. So not all product teams would have a researcher or a designer, but I think that's kind of like the long-term goal. So my team has a researcher and designer. The team that is responsible for CBC.ca has one. And then there's also people who are just contributors. So if there's like a big project, that there's actual designers and researchers who can do that work. So like the Olympics, for example. There needs to be someone to take care of that. Or like the elections, there needs to be someone to take care of that. So there's just kind of people floating around in the middle, and then people who are also dedicated to product teams.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Is this what you prefer, or are there other situations that you've been in where there's been a different structure that you've really liked and has worked well for you?
I mean, this is kind of all I know. So I can't say if I prefer it. It's currently working for me. I think also, I'm not all like totally a team of one, because there are other researchers in the building.
Yeah.
So, you know, you, there are people who kind of understand what you're doing, and you can sort of do a sanity check of like, does this interview guide make sense? Or can you take notes for this thing? Or can, like, there's still help, and there's still enough bodies in the building, but also they have their own work to do. So you are kind of like working on your own thing, and you are a self-starter, and you are sort of in charge of your projects. But yeah, I think it's, yeah, it's cool. Like, it's working.
So how many researchers are there in total at CBC?
Maybe like officially four, but there's also people who get it, like a designer who is self-taught or has actually been taught about research methods, who doesn't have research on their team, but can do what whatever needs to be done to either validate or discover or, you know, explore a research question. So,
Okay. Cool. So how do you present, you talked a little bit about getting stakeholders involved and how that process works for you and what you think works well. Once the research is finished, how do you present your research findings? What are some ways that you've done that so far?
Oh my God, that is something I wish I had like a magic bullet for. It's like my
Yeah,
biggest
see, me too.
stressor. Because for me, everything I've discovered is important. So it's very hard for me to sort of like, okay, like cut this out, include this, summarize this. So yeah, it's something I like go back and forth on. The most common way that things are shared is in some sort of deck. Sometimes if it's not like every single developer and every single designer needs to know, it might just be like an email chain. It might be me joining a sprint planning meeting and just being like, here's what I learned. It might be more formal, like a okay, we're in a boardroom and like I have a whole hour. But it's definitely always me talking. It's not me just like sending out a thing and then hoping that it sticks. I definitely like to be able to be in the room to explain things and ask questions. But yeah, there has not been like a, oh, every single time I'm finished, I do this, these three steps, and like that's how everything is presented. Because also, there's different types of learners on the team. I'm working with like all kinds of people who, some people just zone out for a deck, and I know that. So I'm not gonna expect them to like listen and really like take in what I've learned. So yeah, it's yeah, I don't even know. Like every single kind of way. I will try anything.
Well,
Yeah.
that's I think that's really great of you to recognize that. You know, you said that there's someone on your team who is not so receptive to slide decks. How did you like how do you know that they're not? Like, did you have a conversation with them? Because I think that's really important is just understanding who your audience is, as you mentioned.
Well, I think it's kind of like a meta skill that a user researcher should know when there's someone in the room who isn't able to participate for whatever reason. I think I'm just like naturally sensitive to that. So while I'm talking, I'm kind of looking around the room like who's engaged, who's not engaged. Or it could be a thing where like someone appeared to be engaged, but then it's over, and then they'll start a Slack message with you and they'll have 10,000 questions that come to them.
They could have
Yeah,
asked,
they could
yeah.
have asked, but they didn't feel comfortable asking, or it didn't come to them at the time. So, yeah, I think it's people giving either like conscious or unconscious feedback, and me being able to pick up on that and follow up. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. I think it's really important. So I want to ask how you are able to do that. So kind of tying into that then, what is one thing that is you think is clear to you from your experience as a researcher, but that other people might not know about or is not so clear to them?
I think forming a good question is not clear to other people. So in my previous job, I feel like I was sort of introducing the very broad concept of just getting feedback, but not necessarily doing like discovery work because no one was ready for that. But here it's like, oh, people understand how to validate something. They understand that things need to be validated, but they don't really understand that like you could have a question, right, that you're asking today that might impact the design like 10 months from now, that it's like still good to go through that exercise of answering that question instead of just focusing on like what has been built today or like what's being built right now. So that's something that I'm trying to, I guess, like seep into the brains of the people here is like come up with a question, come up with a broad question, or come to me with a small question that we can sort of like work through together and build into a bigger question or build into like not an immediate research goal, if that makes sense, you
Yeah,
know?
for sure. How do you like I don't know the frequency of people, you know, coming to you and asking these questions, but how do you keep track of all of that, those conversations and potential questions for future work?
Thankfully, most of the questions come about either through like electronic communication. So it's like, oh, it's a Slack thing or it's an email thing. So I kind of know where it is and where it came from. And then I can dump it into my like Google Doc or Evernote or whichever sort of like capturing brain dumping tool I'm using at the moment. Or it'll happen in like a scheduled meeting. So again, I'm like, oh yeah, that was 2 weeks ago. You asked me this thing. I know that I can actually like track it and follow up. Thankfully, I don't have like 17 different people asking like 17 different questions. They might be like a different informed question, but everyone's just trying to find out the same kind of thing. So it hasn't been like an overwhelming, oh my God, like, what do I do next? Like, where do I focus? Where am I? That hasn't happened yet, thankfully.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. Cool. So I'm wondering if you have any input into like what people are learning right now, what techniques people are trying out, mm-hmm. Anything that's recently inspired you to try something new in your discipline.
In my discipline, I think,
or maybe not. Like maybe it's something you learned about, you know, like content strategy or how to do like, you know, data scientist type of work, like analysis of data, like anything really.
Anything like cool and hip that I've come across lately? Well,
yeah,
not really lately, but possibly if you were to ask me this in 2 weeks, I might have a different answer because I'm going to a conference this Friday. But
oh, nice.
I think like I'm like not that I'm constantly inspired, but I haven't really been like bored yet. And also because I'm a team of one, most of the time it's kind of hard for me to be like, oh, let me just go over here and like really dig in and like spend 3 days or like 3 weeks learning something new. I kind of have to just like take it
for sure
in small bites.
Yeah, see,
I don't know if there's anything that's been like mind-blowing or like, well, actually, okay. That's not true. Okay, well, I've been experimenting lately with trying to get people involved with my research, people who don't do research, mm-hmm. in a way that is not overwhelming for them. And so I've been using rainbow charts for usability testing because it's much easier for me to get the assumptions down from like the product owner or the designer or whichever stakeholder. And then it's easy to just bring a random person in and say like, here's the column you have to look at. Here's like past test subjects, either like sound bites or quotes or pass fail, and all you have to do is fill in this column. So it's like easy for them. There isn't like 3 hours worth of training and practice, and it's just easy for anyone to like step in and fill in the thing as the test is going on. And then it's also for the person who had their list of assumptions to look back and say, oh yeah, invalid or valid. Okay, cool. So the rainbow charts have really been like instrumental for me to like educate people but also do my job but also help them do their jobs better.
So where did you find out about rainbow charts?
I think it was posted in a Slack channel, either the Mixed Method one or the UX or Toronto one. It was in the media.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna check that out. I haven't heard of that yet. Okay, so what kind of advice do you have? Oh, sorry, I wanted to ask you first, which conference are you going to next Friday?
I'm going to the Radical Research Summit, I think that's what it's called. It's in Vancouver.
Oh, that's awesome. Have you been before?
Never.
No. Okay. That. Where do you plan on going with your career after you've climbed like as high as traditional research roles go? Or like what is your goal as a user researcher career-wise?
Climb as far as they can go. I mean, has anyone even done that yet? I feel like this field is like so new to people who haven't been doing it that long. I don't know if I have like a, like in my mind, there's no like Oprah of user research. But climbed as far as I can go, probably having the flexibility to not be tied to a company would probably be cool. Like not to be a full-on consultant all the time, but being able to just literally pop in like a Google Hangout and be like, oh yeah, this is totally cool, I can help you here, and then just leave, because I've learned so much and like my knowledge is so valuable to people that they just like call me for a bit and I just like help them out or like sanity check their work and then leave. That'd be pretty cool, but I don't think that's gonna happen to me for another like 25 years, so
well, that's okay. I mean, something to look forward to. Yeah, that would be pretty cool though, to just kind of be like you said, not, you don't want to be like a full-on consultant, but maybe more like a permanent mentor.
Yes, definitely.
Cool. Well, I've just written your job description for you and the title of your next role.
UX mentor. Research mentor, I should say. Awesome. Okay. So with that as well, if you were to think back to, you know, when you first started out, what would be some advice that you might give to people who are trying to get in? Because as we know, it's not a very traditional field. There's no like school that you go to be a researcher until you have your thing in 25 years from now. But yeah, any advice you have?
Don't be afraid of what the job description says. I think a lot of times the job description is like a wish list. So, you know, they really want everything. And if you have a few of those things, and if you know where you're at and you know what you can offer, that's super important. You should apply anyway. So that's one thing. But then on the same token, if a job description looks like they're looking for a designer and a project manager and a leader and a researcher, it's probably not going to be all those things. So like maybe be a little bit cautious and maybe be a little bit picky, and don't be afraid to ask questions in the interview. Like, what do you really need? Like, what are you really looking for? Am I really gonna be able to do research, or am I gonna be, you know, pulled in like 17 different directions? And then other advice would be, once you're close to having a job, or even if you're new on the job, is to find some sort of mentor or someone who can like keep you on track and like keep you in the loop and prevent you from stagnating. So it doesn't have to be like official mentee mentor relationship. It could just be that you saw someone at a conference and you guys check in with each other via LinkedIn every 2 months, or more like robust and more like engaged than that. But I think it's important to just have someone to like review your work with, because what we're doing is like kind of new, not really new, but like kind of new to the company you're working in, most likely. And there isn't probably like a hardcore like path that you're following that someone else has laid out before you. So I think getting feedback and input from other people is super important, especially if you're just
That's really great. And then how about for like people who aren't necessarily like at the point of they're ready to apply, like they're just looking to gain some skills, or like how do they get the right advice and the right skills to then apply to an application? Like, do you have any advice for that besides the program that you went to?
If possible, I would say join a Slack group like User Research Toronto or like Mixed Methods. Like, there's the one good thing, even though that sometimes I'm at my work and I'm like, oh my god, what am I doing? Like, what do I do next? I think the good thing is that there is a lot of people in the community who probably asked the same question you're asking yourself earlier that week. So getting in on that conversation and getting in on that chatter is super important. And also, I think Slack is good because people are there to. Whereas LinkedIn might not be like the first place you want to go. You're only blowing up someone's direct message. When you know what I mean? Like, you don't know how busy they are, but if you're on Slack, people are there to talk. So like, that'd be a good place to go. And if you're at a job where you can do a little experiment to sort of see if you're ready for user research, or if your company's ready for user research, or if the product you're working on or the concept you're working on is ready for it, then do it. Like, do something small and lo-fi if possible. Because that's how you're going to know. And that's what you can practice getting better with, because you'll know like where you missed the mark or what you can improve on next time. So yeah, don't be afraid to do little experiments.
Cool. That's really great advice. Especially the one about the job descriptions. I think a lot of times maybe companies like want a researcher, but they don't even necessarily know what that entails. So they just put like literally every skill imaginable and they're like, we need you to do like 1,000 different things, but it's just, it's not possible. So definitely, asking like, what is it that they actually need, I think is really good advice.
Every single method ever. You're probably not going to need a diary study yet. Like, you're probably not going to, but yeah, so it's like that, just like knowing what the flags are and not being afraid to say, hang on, you guys don't even have a product yet. Like, what do you mean you need me to do like X, Y, Z? Or not everything I'm going to do is a survey. So, you know, heads up. So don't be afraid to ask questions.
Definitely great advice. Okay, so then another question I love to ask people is, what do people think you do for a living?
Oh.
Like those who are not familiar with the term UXR.
So some people think that I'm like a quality assurance person, but they think that I'm, you know, like looking for bugs.
Okay.
And like trying to make sure there are no bugs before products get released.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people think I'm a designer. And then other people are like, oh yeah, like focus groups, right? Like, right. Like Pepsi taste test, but for websites. Okay, cool. So yeah.
Interesting. And how do you describe your actual role to them?
It depends on who's asking.
Yeah.
But I say that I make sure that the things that we're making make sense for the people who are going to use it. And oftentimes people who I've told this to, I've been like, oh, so someone like my grandma could use it? I'm like,
yeah.
Exactly, literally, yes. So your grandma yes. could use it. So your very tech savvy 2-year-old could use it. Yes, that's what I'm working on.
Yeah, awesome. That's yeah. a great way of describing it, I think. Okay, so those are all the questions that I have for you. Was there anything you wanted to add? Like, is CBC hiring perhaps? Or is there anything that you're working on outside of work that you want to share with people? Or if not, then we can just say goodbye.
Just don't be scared.
Yeah. You know?
Just, like, don't be scared. If you're new and you're, like, or if you're, like, new because you're in school, or if you're new because you've been doing, like, the same job for 25 years and you're like, oh, I don't know if they'll take me, just don't be scared. Just try.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Go out on a limb a little bit. So mm-hmm.
I would yeah. agree with that. I think because it is nothing, it's not like there's definitely some really solid foundation for research now mm-hmm. and some good methodologies that we use, but there's still so much to learn and somewhat like room to grow that it's not like you have to have a PhD in this. So I think you're really right in saying that. You know, don't be afraid because it's so new as well. So maybe you'll bring something great that you didn't know you could.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking this time to talk with me and to share your experience with anyone who's listening. And yeah, I hope you have a great rest of the week.
Thank you, Melanie. You too.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the 5th episode of Personas. I made a mistake at the beginning of the episode and said that it was the 4th, but it is indeed the 5th. I also wanted to mention that our conference is coming up in June, June 6th and 7th in Toronto, Ontario. The conference is called Strive, and you can look at more information at uxresearchto.com. You can buy tickets, you can hear about more about what UX Research TO does, where the conference will be held, and then as we get confirmation for speakers, that will be updated as well. So if you are interested in finding an amazing UX research conference to attend, check out Strive at uxresearchto.com. Thanks a lot.